This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Everyone, I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from May 17th, episode 1699. Brought to you today by horselovers.com. That's almost 1700 episodes, Glenn. I'm doing the math. Good morning, horse world.
You're so good.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday, I
can't sleep. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday. You know how we talk about, Jamie, that you never know who's listening to our show? Well, I got a note that just reminded me that there are people listening doing fun things all over the world. So this was from Mila Thompson. Remember how we talked about, you did the movie review of King Arthur.
Yes, and all the beautiful men were riding beautiful Andalusians and Frisians and very Spanish-looking horses. And I made a joke that, like, probably King Arthur was riding, like, you know, backwards half-ass quarter horses because they didn't have, you know, or little ponies, yes, Mongolian steppe pony, I don't know, whatever they were riding. Who knows? But I said that obviously there's no, back in those days, there was no Andalusians or Frisians.
And Mila wrote to us and said, just listening to yesterday's episode while walking home in sunny Edinburgh, Scotland, and wanted to update you on the presence of Frisian Andalusian horses in Britain at the time of King Arthur. It's actually quite likely, although most of the horses would have been native breeds and crosses more similar to the modern Exmoor or Fell ponies, there will have been horses from elsewhere in Europe. King Arthur legend comes from the Dark Ages that follows the decline of the Roman Empire. During the Roman occupation of Britain, they brought in auxiliary troops from all over Europe, and those troops would have brought their own horses. There is documented evidence of a division of Frieslanders helping to build Hadrian's Wall across the north of England, and this has led to the Frisian being identified as one of the ancestors of the fell pony.
Okay, you know what? You had me at walking home in sunny Edinburgh. Whatever you say after that, and I'm imagining it. Just listening to yesterday's episode. I don't know, some Scottish accent.
We apologize, Mila, for her accent. Yeah, we do.
Well, walking home in sunny Edinburgh, Scotland, and I
wanted
to
talk
to you. That's amazing.
We never know where people are listening from.
What's really cool, too, is, like, you know, maybe that hot guy was actually riding that beautiful Frisian. It could happen. Now I know. So, Mila, thank you for educating me. And I hope that you sent this to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com because it kind of sounds like a complaint.
I think she was just clarifying with her knowledge.
And
I didn't know some of this, so that was good.
And of course,
King Arthur
so
is made up in the first place. So let's start there.
Watch your mouth, Glenn.
By
King
the way,
Arthur is real.
I've seen a whole bunch of our listeners post now that they went and saw the movie thanks to you, and they all liked it. So
I'm telling you, the second weekend is going to be bigger than the first because it's one of those movies that all the critics panned it, and then you go see it as like a real human, and you're like, oh my God, that's really good. Mila, I absolutely adore you, by the way. That's the coolest thing, to get a letter from somebody who's listening to our show walking home in Scotland. Like, that's super cool.
and then
to be corrected by her. That's even cooler.
She's a former fell pony owner, too, which fell ponies on my bucket list. I've always wanted to own one of those. Well, let's find
dream
out.
On.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're a little expensive. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's horselovers.com Wednesday edition, listener Courtney has offered herself up as the test subject. And today we're going to have the first ever Hit 'em, Swipe Right equestrian dating game. And then mid-show, we're going to take a look at the Preakness lineup for this weekend's race. And right before the credits roll, Gail Stewart, our favorite equine historian, is going to tell us the story of 1948 Triple Crown winner Citation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie is a two-parter, actually. The first part of it is to our friend Stephanie, who lives in New York City, because she just got a horse. She's been horseless for a long time. She's been listening to us horseless for a long time, and she actually got her previous lesson horse, Luke. She bought the lesson horse. So apparently she's going to be taking this horse home soon, and we'll have to have her on for a new horse.
I'm so happy for her. And I do love that she posted in the auditor's room several days ago, I'm thinking about buying this horse. Do you think I should get a pre-purchase? Do you think this? And I was like, whatever. She's doing nothing. She's just going to buy the horse. And she did.
Yeah. When they post it in that tone of voice, it's over.
Yeah. Like, I don't even need to answer this because you're not going to listen. It's like my client. It's like, we love this pony. Should we get a pre-purchase? I'm like, why? You're not going to listen to the vet anyway. The last time you guys bought a horse, she said, don't buy this horse. And you're like, well, take it.
That's funny. All right, let's talk to, or let's get, do my second
my
part.
My turn.
No, I have, have a second part. Yeah. My second part goes out to Leslie Wiley, who's here every Monday and is signed up for the Mongol Derby. And she, after the show on Monday, Leslie posts on Horse Nation about a fundraiser she's doing to help raise the rest of the money. It costs $13,000 plus airfare plus expenses to go to Mongolia to do the Mongol Derby. And actually, Horse Nation and Eventing Nation and stuff have paid part of it, but they said now you have to kind of raise the rest on your own. And I said, why didn't you mention it on the show Monday? Well, we were talking about the Mongol Derby the whole time. And she said, I'm too embarrassed to ask for money. It makes my palms sweaty. So that's exactly what she said. And I
said, willing to go and risk her life on a wild horse in a foreign country, but asking for money makes her palms sweaty.
I know. That's exactly what she said. So I'm mentioning it now. Go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Scroll down a little bit. You'll see where we posted where the fundraiser is. We have donated money. Well, I donated money personally, not even from Horse Radio Network, because I am the reason that she's doing this. It was me teasing her and egging her on that caused her to sign up in the first place. So it's pretty much 100% my fault. So I did it, but I went over and there's almost $2,000 that have been raised so far. And when I look down through the list, Jamie, if you go look through that list of people who donated, they're almost all listeners of our show.
Because our listeners are the best.
They are.
Seriously.
And she wrote me a note after and said, your listeners are the best. So she truly appreciates it. If you want to help her out, head over to our Facebook page or go to horsenation.com. There's an article there about it. And you can help her on her way, too, because we're all kind of living this journey with her. And I hope that one thing I did tell her, she wrote me this really nice note after saying, you challenged me. I would have never done this without you. And I wrote back to her and said, just don't die because I'll feel guilty. And she said she would try not to. So there's that.
No, I've got a little basset hound sleeping at my feet right now that's here because of our listeners. So I understand their love and generosity and they're amazing, life-changing, changed my life.
I actually had one that wrote to me and said, I'm getting paid on Friday and I will give part of my paycheck, which means they're living paycheck to paycheck. I will give part of my paycheck to Leslie. It won't be much, but I'm going to give a little bit because I'm living this with her. So, you know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Sorry, Jennifer. Go ahead, Jamie.
My turn. Okay. I just want you guys to know that I literally am paying zero attention to this show. Zero.
I can tell. What are you doing?
Here. I am so excited.
About what?
Do you guys know what we're doing after the show?
Yeah, I think we can mention this now, but let's put the caveat that if they don't cancel in front of it.
If they don't cancel.
Yeah.
So check this out. Do you remember the Chris Farley skit on Saturday Night Live where Chris Farley interviews Paul McCartney and he's like, hey, Paul McCartney, remember that time you sang with the Beatles? And Paul McCartney's like, yeah. And Chris Farley goes, oh, that was awesome. Remember that time that you did? That was awesome. That's going to be me in like an hour and a half because we're interviewing Amber Marshall. That's right. The girl that I think that I am sometimes, Amber Marshall, Amy from Heartland. I did an Amy the other day. I pulled an Amy, you know, and I like had this, you guys don't watch the show, so I'm talking directly to our listeners. Okay, so Zeus was like telling me that something was making him uncomfortable when we were jumping, and I couldn't really figure it out, and I thought, okay, we're going to work on our halts, we're going to work on this, we're going to work on that, and nothing was working, you guys. He was like bolting after the fences and before the fences, and just, he kept looking like over his left shoulder a little bit, and I, boom! Figured it out, and I pulled an Amy, and I took the slack of my reins, all the extra rein that hangs out to the left. I tied it in a knot. The horse is jumping hands free now. I pulled an Amy. Amy would have figured that out. Amy would have seen it a lot quicker and told me to tie my reins in a knot, but I did it, and now my horse and I have harmony. So pulling an Amy, I'm going to talk to the girl who has changed my little horsey life. Okay. Yes, I am almost 40 years old. And yes, I like a teen drama and it's really good. And you all like it too. And if you haven't watched Heartland, get started because we're interviewing Amy today. We've submitted for questions from our listeners on our Heartland Facebook page, on our auditors Facebook page. And can you guys tell I'm excited, Glenn?
Yeah,
I'm
and, so excited. And you better not clam up on this one because I got nothing. I haven't watched it, so it's all
it's
you,
typical,
buddy.
It's typical of me to clam up during an interview. Very typical.
There are a few that you said over the years, I can't talk to that person.
Who was that? There's one. Who was the one person I was like, yeah, I can't talk.
There was one that you said, no, I'm not talking to that person. So
I can't. Only because I'm such a fan. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah. You were so much a fan that you could talk.
I don't think that I'm going to have a problem talking to her. If she is like how I think she's going to be.
Yeah, I've watched a couple interviews with her from TV, and she seems as sweet as pie. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be an issue. And she is a horse girl, so there's something to relate to there.
I've been reading some print interviews with her, and I just feel like those people were interviewing her. I feel like we're going to be best friends. So,
like you are with
that.
George Morris?
Yeah. George and I have hit a rocky patch. We hit a rocky patch. However, Amy and I are, Amber and I, see, that's my problem. I'm going to call her the wrong name. Amber and I are going to be besties.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm excited
so
that
when
we
he goes out to Denise for booking.
Yeah, Denise has been working on this since Radiothon. So, and there was a toss up whether it was going to be Grandpa. What's his name? Grandpa
Jack.
Jack or Amy. So there was a.
I'll talk to Grandpa Jack too.
I thought you I would. Him. I said either one will do. Well, she said, "How about we settle for the main character?" So that's why we're doing that. That'll play on Friday morning, by the way. Let's clarify that. That will play on Friday morning, first thing in the show. We're going to come out. Yeah. We're going to do our daily Winnies and go into the interview. So,
because she's awesome. She was like, I'm not getting up that early.
No, she said that she doesn't do mornings. So that's why we have to record it later. I guess they must film later in the day or something. I don't know.
You go, girl.
This is what the longest running series in Canada. I mean, it's just forever. It's like 11. They're filming their 11th season or something. It's crazy.
Yes, they are. I'm so happy.
And, you know, and it's a show about farm life and horses. I mean, and it's in 11 seasons. That's just unbelievable.
Why are you not watching it?
I don't know.
Why is your
Because
wife
I have 2 hours to watch TV a day. And, you know, you can't fit it all in those 2 hours a day. And then we work the other 100 hours a week. So that's
I don't want to be whatever, but Chad has been, I've been trying to like get through it because I'm only on the end of season 6 now. I've been trying to really get through
it. Oh, you've been binging?
So I've been binging, and Chad last night is watching. He goes, so what happened to Caleb? He's like, I watched one while Lucas was at school. He's like, you watched it without me, but what happened with Caleb and Lou? That's my husband. That was my husband who said that. So I don't understand what happened with Caleb and Lou. Is there any, and I was like, I don't know, babe. I don't know. I can't. Oh, all right. Sit down. Let me tell you what happened. And then I'll tell you.
Don't you hate it though, when somebody comes in the middle and you have to explain, it's like, why didn't you watch it with me in the first place?
He's probably watched two or three episodes from each season. So he knows who everybody is and he loves Grandpa Jack. But this whole like thing happened in season six of Caleb and Lou. And he's like, I don't understand what happened. Why is it? And he's like, how could you watch it without me? I was really into that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were into it.
Because you're never here. That's to watch something.
He's like, but it was a cliffhanger. What happened? I'm like, okay, sit down. I'll go over it with you. Okay. Remember that guy.
I will
this
have
is my fighter pilot husband, by the way. Man's man.
I think it just comes down to not having enough time to watch everything that is out there, you know, and there's a million shows now. It's not like it used to be.
Hey, you know, it only took one of us binge watching this show. Although I feel like I'm binge watching. I've been watching it for months trying to catch up and I'm only on season six and they're about to do dang 11. What happened? I feel like I'm watching the show all the time. So all I do is watch the show.
All right.
There's like a billion.
We have a new segment for you. Here we go.
Let's see.
California, it's the dating game.
Welcome to the first ever Horses in the Morning personal ad. This beautiful young lady is seeking a tall, dark, and handsome man who is willing to suffer. I mean, enjoy her passion for horses. So you single guys or friends of single guys out there, listen up as we want you to meet the woman of your dreams, Courtney. Hey, Courtney, good morning.
Hey, Glenn, good morning. Hey, Jamie.
Courtney, how you doing, my dear? I'm not sold on this segment yet, so you're going to have to sell me on it because I feel like you might be getting yourself into some trouble.
I think you're right. I'm not even sold on it, so we'll see how this goes.
All right, Glenn, explain what is going on.
Yes,
here.
Okay. What is going on is Courtney is signing up to go on the cruise, and there's a number of single women that have signed up to go on the cruise, and they're all looking because you have to book a cruise as a cabin for two, or it's very expensive to book a cabin for one. So they're looking for roommates. And I was chatting with Courtney yesterday, and she said, well, it'd be nice if I actually had like a guy, you know, a boyfriend to go with. And I said, how about we help you with that with the first ever Horses in the Morning personal ad? So that's what we're doing this morning. Courtney, did you fall off your horse?
I did not. Sorry. I'm actually at the barn, though. I am there.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. Horses winning is a good thing for a personal ad about a girl that's into horses. So this is your time to shine, to appeal to all the single guys out there, of which we think we probably have one listener that's a single guy. But they have friends, right? There's
that's
women out there.
That's only because he just broke up with his girlfriend.
That's right.
Also listens to the show.
That's right. and now has a restraining order against him. But we're not worried about that, are we, Courtney?
No, it'll be fun. I love restraining orders.
Okay. Okay, Courtney, now we have to ask you all the questions that would be on an application if you were going to an online dating service that involved horse people, okay? Now, I will say that some of them are a little unorthodox, and some of these came from our auditors because they all typed in for this. So so here we go. How old are you?
I'm 27. I just turned 27 on May 9th, actually.
Well, that's Jennifer's birthday, too. That makes you wonderful.
I know. Yay. I know.
Glenn, as you should know, when asking a woman her age, you say, how young are you?
Oh, sorry. Well, you know, when they're in their 20s, you can say, how old are you? I think it's when they get into.
Yeah, I think I'm still OK with my age.
Yeah. She's not in her 50s. So
jeez.
What?
50s are old.
I hear yelling from Jennifer in the other room.
You're in trouble. I'm right here.
What state are you from or country?
Like currently?
I'm in Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee. And when did your addiction to horses begin?
Well, my mom rode when she was pregnant. So I'm going to say like in the womb.
In utero. Gotcha. Yeah,
this guy is screwed. So as to not embarrass any future dates, what size truck do you have?
Ram 1500.
Okay, so guys, you have to at least have a 2500 or you're just going to be embarrassed. So
3/4 ton.
Yeah, because I want a bigger trailer. So yes, they have to have a bigger truck than me so that I can haul the bigger trailer.
Okay, and she's not needy at all. So how long into a relationship?
Stop being negative.
Okay. How long into a relationship? How long into the relationship is the man expected to clean stalls?
Well, fortunately for him, my horses live in the pasture. So unless if we're at a horse show, he doesn't have to clean them at all.
Well, guys, you're win, win, win. Okay. Would you prefer a guy who would eventually get into horses, or do you want him staying away from the barn?
Oh, definitely stay away. I get so irritated with people that don't know anything about horses trying to do horse things.
Perfect. Win-win. How much do you spend on your horses monthly?
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Why ever would you answer that question?
I don't think I even want to know how much I spend on them monthly.
That's a horse girl right there. We don't know.
Think about it.
We have no idea how much the hell we spend.
How many credit cards are dedicated to the horse hobby? You don't have to answer that either. I already know the answer.
Seriously, Glenn? I was doing real radio, which means I was making like real money.
Yeah, not like
and,
here.
And then at the end of the year, when I'm doing my taxes, I'm like, I made how much? Holy crap. And I look at my account, I'm like, where the hell is that? Where the hell? Oh, I competed like every weekend. So, yeah.
That's exactly how I am. I hate doing taxes because I don't know where all the money went.
That leads to the next question. Are you gainfully employed?
I am. I do have a job. I actually have two jobs, and I still don't have money.
But what do you do for a living?
Yeah, what do you do?
Gotta know.
Yeah.
Well, I teach a little bit and train, or at least I try. And then I am a bartender.
She's fun too, guys.
Ding, 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 ding. She's fun, hot, and will pour you a strong,
wicked drink. That's good. Now, this comes from a listener, a particular listener, and I'm not going to say her name, but she had a couple of questions, and I thought they were fun. Does hay ever end up in your bed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hay and dirt, definitely.
Okay. Jamie's going to get uncomfortable now. Do you wash clothes in the house washer?
Horse clothes.
Yeah, more often than I want to admit.
I'm divorcing you. How much actual time do you have for a relationship with a human?
Well, evidently not much, because my friends have been playing this set me up game for like 2 years now, and they've been failing for 2 years.
Do you, in fact, own a dress of any kind?
I do. Sometimes I like to wear dresses, very occasionally, though.
Okay. And do you expect all vacations to revolve around horses?
I mean, that would be lovely, but I don't even get vacations, which is why I'm so dedicated to this cruise. I haven't been on a vacation in like 4 years.
Well, there you go. The cruise will be fun. You'll be out with other horse people,
too. So what she's saying is she would be more than happy to go on a vacation with you. You just have to pay for it.
That's right. She's really looking for somebody to pay for that cabin. And by the way, deposits are due in the next 2 months, so hurry up, guys. Now, do you have any questions for her, Jamie, before we allow her to do her final sell?
I mean, I feel like you covered it. You did a good job. I feel like what I'm getting from her is she's bubbly and she loves horses and she's really fun and she's probably very pretty. I guess I really don't have any further questions.
Hold on.
Very important question for horse chicks. What type of riding do you do? You're in Tennessee.
I do 3-day eventing.
Okay, then she's even cooler now. I was just hoping it wasn't like, I'm in Tennessee, I ride walking horses. Come on.
And she
oh,
said,
God, I hate that. Okay. I'm like, walking horses are fine. Don't get me wrong. They're fine, but they're not for me.
The Tennessee big lick factor is what I was talking about. Don't mean to get political. Carry on. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, she has a dog, like, apparently, because I see a picture. The picture we're going to post of you. You really can't see you, but you can see your dog very well.
So. That's a horse girl for you right there. Hey, look, you can go to my profile picture and look through 17 profiles pictures, and there's not one of me,
oh,
but
can
there's
we
a lot of
talk about that for a second? When our auditors sign up, I always friend the auditors because they send me messages, right? And not one of them has a picture of themselves anywhere on their Facebook page. We go to meet people at Rolex, and I thought, I'm going to look the people I know that are coming so I know what they look like. I couldn't find a damn picture of anybody. What is it with you horse people? Jeez. She is very pretty. Yeah, she actually sent me a picture of her face so I could see it, and she's very pretty, guys. So, and bubbly and fun. Thanks. All right, this is it. This is your last chance. You have 1 minute. I'm going to give you 1 minute. I'm going to time it. We're going to start a timer to sell yourself to the guys out there. You know, do you like long walks on the beach? You know, things like that. So ready, set, go.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm pretty friendly for the most part. I don't like long walks on the beach. I don't really like long walks anywhere. And as long as you're okay with, I have 13 animals. So if you're cool with 13 animals, then I'm your girl. But you can't have any animals because there's no more room.
Okay. I can't let it go.
That's about it, I guess.
Okay, I can't let it go. You have 13 animals. What do you have?
Well, I have 6 dogs.
Oh, my God.
I hate that answer. I hate when I get that. Yes, I have 6 large dogs, and they all sleep in the bed, which is also probably why I'm single.
Okay, Courtney, that has something to do with it. There's no room for a guy.
Let her finish. Sorry. What else is there? What else is there?
I have 3 cats. I have the 2 horses. How many is that? 9, 10, 11. And then I have 2 chinchillas.
Do you live? You live with your parents.
I don't. That's why I have so many. As soon as I moved out when I was 18, I obviously got my first dog. And then I realized there's no one to tell you no, like, anymore. It's not like you can't bring home the puppy. Like, you can just bring home all the puppies. So I did.
Okay. So let me qualify her personal ad. There's a place down the road from me that is like, it's a woman and she has a lot of money and she has a husband who's very amiable to whatever she wants. And they have like 15 little mini donkeys and they've got chickens and pigs and goats and horses. And their whole yard is just this collection of animals walking around. And Chad and I went on a trail ride yesterday and I looked over and I go, babe, without you, that would be me. And he's like, we need each other. We need each other. He's like, you need me. So to qualify the personal ad for Dear Courtney, she needs a man who hates animals because that's the only way to limit her in the end. Like, yes, not hates animals, but like Chad, he doesn't really like animals. I've realized that he doesn't like dogs. Not at all. He really doesn't like horses. He doesn't like cats. Dear God, I'll get a divorce if I bring a freaking cat home. There has to be that stop point, you know, that like they got to pump the brakes. So,
but is Courtney beyond help? She's 26 with 6 dogs. By the way, Courtney, I would not have put that in my 1 minute sell at the end. I would have kind of left that out. Well, I would have kind of left that out. You know, you want to reel them in a little bit, at least get them into the boat before you tell them that.
Glenn, it could be worse. It could be worse because she could have been like, I got 6 kids at home. Nope. She doesn't have 6 kids.
Yeah.
She has 6 dogs. So men listening, it's not a problem that it's not that bad of a problem. Like, there's no ex-husbands that are coming around picking up the kids.
Wait,
a
minute. We didn't ask her that.
Weekends. There's no kids.
There's no kids.
No, okay, good.
My dogs and my kids.
There's no ex-husbands because there was no room in the bed for the ex-husband. Just saying. All right. I think that our new segment is not going to gain anybody any help in finding a boyfriend. I really don't. But well, but if you're interested, we're not going to have we do want to protect Courtney a little bit here in case there is one out there. So we want you to send your emails to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
Jennifer, welcome to your new life.
Jennifer will screen all of the emails and forward them on to Courtney if appropriate. So Jennifer,
it's really fun. You're not getting any emails.
I think you had a shot till the six dogs in the bed. I really did. I was thinking I would date this girl if I was younger, and then you threw that out there. Got
to
reel them in.
Rescues, though. Like, how are you going to say no to rescue animals? You can't.
Well,
you can't.
But if you think about it, they're not saying no to the rescue animals. They're saying no to you owning the rescue animals. So there's that.
It's hard. Like, while we are doing this interview, I just got an email from a girl I went to high school with telling me that there's a boxer pit mix who has bilateral hip dysplasia that needs a new home.
No,
otherwise
no.
She's going to be euthanized.
No, no.
I'm like, you can't just send that to somebody like me.
No,
you can't.
No,
it's not fair.
I want you to stay married.
To the show. She's expecting me to come get the dog.
Oh, she's like, hey, can that Courtney girl come and get the dog, please? She's in Tennessee. The dog's in Georgia. Yes. It's like right
it's
down
right
the street.
Next
come
door.
On.
Yeah. I can get there in a couple hours.
Courtney, you're a trooper, and I think you will find a lovely guy. And I am looking forward to being on the cruise with you, but can I remind you, no dogs are allowed. Just saying, okay?
I know, but there will definitely be dog care. It follows me. There's always dog care.
Okay. You can bring that. Just don't bring the dog. And we are looking forward to seeing you there. And I hope you have a lovely guy that treats you like a queen.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Courtney.
See, bye. You know what's good, Courtney? I love this segment because it makes me feel less crazy.
Well, now
I could help.
But dude, if I can find somebody, you can find somebody. How about that? Does that make you feel less crazy?
You just there need to fly go. More.
Yes,
Courtney.
I'm so inspired now.
You're lovely. Thank you, Courtney. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
That was me. That's me at 27.
It probably was you at 27.
Say what?
It was you at 27.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was me at 27. So if it can happen for me, it can happen for you guys.
Now, if any guys are interested, Jennifer will use her picture as the show notes picture for today's show. Jennifer, you'll find it in the show notes. Or rather, it's a picture of one of her dogs. So there you go.
Can you see her at least
you can
a little
see
bit?
Her elbow.
Yeah.
Nice elbows.
Now, the disturbing part is she's holding hands with her dogs while she's driving down the road. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
No. Oh, is that her? That's her in that picture. Relationship goals.
Maybe you guys don't see the picture. Relationship goals. That is correct. That is the picture. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's holding hands with their dog.
I'm telling you she was good till she mentioned the six dogs. Yeah, she had me until she mentioned the six dogs, and then I was
I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge. She's me at 27. It's fine. Just stop taking them in. You got to stop. Because you just gonna get crazier.
You know, I think we determined that once you go to seven cats, you're a crazy cat lady. And once you're past four dogs, you're a crazy dog lady. So I think she's right up there. Well,
I don't understand how you afford like flea control for seven dogs.
That's
or whatever.
Expensive. You get those little drops for the back. It's expensive for one dog.
I know.
I don't know how you do it. Well, she must be making pretty good money as a bartender. So Good for her. No, you know, nobody's ever coming on again to do that segment after we're done with Courtney here.
I'm telling you, if it can happen for me, it can happen for you.
And if any single guys are out there that want to go through this torture, we'll put you on the spot, too. We'll bring you on the show. So if you're interested, let us know. Hey, speaking of Courtney, you know, she avoided the question about how much money she spends on her horses. Well, that's probably because she shops at horselovers.com. For the sales, I was just on there. The flash sale today is a cotton stable sheet for $37 from Amazon. So, you know, that's a nice sheet. They make really nice sheets, and it's on sale for 40% off at $37. Now you have to go today, and you get a matching free halter with it. So, wow. I don't know where you're going to find other deals like that. They always having something going on over there. They're having a 60% blowout right now on all of the Tuscan Roper halters. So, if you're in the western side, check that out. You can win an Amigo $230 rug just by signing up. They have that going on over there right now, too. So they have their deal of the days. They have their auction that's constantly going on that Jennifer cannot seem to stop looking at every day. I catch her looking at that a lot. So they have their auction going on there every day. No matter what you're looking for, English, Western, it's one of the nice things about Horse Lovers is they're not particular. They'll sell to anybody, and they have all kinds of stuff. You need to stop by every single day and check out all the different things that they have on sale. And I know Jamie never shops there.
So, Mother's Day this past Sunday.
Is Chad home?
He's gone. He's already on to work. And this is fine because he was part of it. And again, this is like, if it can happen for me, if I can find love, you guys can too. So on Sunday, it's Mother's Day. And he's like, I'll take you to, you know, like we have no tack shops around here, but he's like, if you want something in Tractor Supply, like whatever you want, I will take you somewhere. I know you have a competition coming up and I will buy you whatever you want, you know, because like it's Mother's Day, whatever you want, you need for your competition. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and let you take credit for what I just bought. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, remember that? Because he was listening to the Horse Lovers commercial last week because he was out of town.
It's bad when Chad listens to our show.
Yeah. Well, he listens when he's out of town because for things like this. And he was like, did you go on Horse Lovers after that commercial? And I was like, no, babe, I was not on Horse Lovers after that commercial. I was on Horse Lovers during that commercial. And I'm like, and there's a coupon code and you get 10% off. It's HRN, right? Yeah, so yeah, I got like, it's like they gave it to me. It was like, it was free.
That's right.
Like, it's like, it's free. And I said, so those back boots that I needed for cross country for Zeus, cause they ripped the last ones. I said, those are the best Mother's Day gift I could possibly ask for. So thank you. I love you. It can happen. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. If I can find love, you can too.
I hate it when he listens to the show because I'm convinced one of these days he's just going to say you can't do the show anymore.
Well, you guys were talking about the fly spray or something, and yeah. he's like, well, I think that sounds like a great fly spray to get. I was like, awesome, because I bought 6 bottles. He's like, seriously, I can't buy you anything.
Horselovers.com. Let's talk a little bit about the Preakness that's coming up. We only have about 10 minutes here, so we'll have to go through the list pretty quickly. It's pretty short anyway. We never seem to get as many horses for the Preakness, but as we do the Derby, of course. I did want to remind everybody it's this weekend. Friday, May 19th is a Black Eyed Susan. That's on Friday. They NBCSN will have coverage from 3 to 5 on Friday Eastern Time for the Preakness Black Eyed Susan. Saturday, they'll have coverage on NBCSN from 2:30 to 5 at the Preakness Prep Races and everything. And then NBC, the main station, will cover it from 5 to 7:15. That's for the 142nd Eastern. Preakness. Yep, Eastern Time.
Okay.
Who's running?
All right. Well, we've got, of course, Always Dreaming. And I've been watching Always Dreaming, you know, winner of the Derby. I've been watching all the articles come out about him because, you know, they didn't freeze him, which is when they just like let him go race speed, you know, for a certain distance. They've just been galloping him, but he has other ideas. This poor exercise rider for always dreaming, man, this son of a gun is a bucker. They bring him out. He just buck, 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 buck. And then he goes and gallops. So it's like, this poor exercise rider has just been photographed a million times with this horse, like trying to buck him off. It's pretty funny. So always dreaming, still got him unbeaten in four starts as a 3-year-old. And he's, you know, just won the Derby, and he's probably, he's already kind of the morning line favorite. Then the other horse you've got is Classic Empire. He ran in the Derby as well. And if you guys remember, now that they've like broken down everything and kind of see what happened to every horse, he actually got creamed at the break. And he got creamed to the point where he got hit in the eye, got a swollen eye, or they said maybe it's from the track kicking up. He got a swollen eye, but he still ran all the way up to get to fourth place. So he had a really tough start. McCracken creamed him at the start, and then he has a hurt eye and he still gets to fourth. So that's Classic Empire. Looking at Lee, you know, he was second in the Derby, a late run. He's another one who's in there. Gunavera is also back to take on the Preakness.
Gunavera, that has the connection out of Venezuela.
Yes. Yes.
And who I had picked.
He is, you had picked him. And Javier Castellano was his jockey up until this race. And Javier is going to ride a horse named Cloud Computing. So a new jockey has been named.
Oh, who?
And he will undoubtedly come in second place. So bet him to show.
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith has now been put on Gunavera. And then we've got Conquest Mo Money. And apparently it just kind of like he's been impressive enough to have a Preakness chance, like a chance to run in it. So he's kind of going up in class for these races. Hence, of course, is back, the owner of Calumet Farm. So that means Jen's going to love it. And he finished 11th, I think, after the Derby. And they just didn't like his... He didn't like the mud. So they're thinking if it's a good track, you know, I'll be better off. And then they have said he's been training really well. So that's why they decided to go to Pimlico. Multiplier is another horse. Joel Rosario is the jockey. We've got Cloud Computing, as I mentioned earlier, and that's trained by Chad Brown, who I love. And Javier Castellano is the jockey. So you think, I mean, he's only started like three times. He's very inexperienced, but Javier must know something because he hopped off Gunavera to ride Cloud Computing. And what a weird name, Cloud Computing. I bet you like that name.
I like
you?
That name. It's geeky.
It's geeky.
The jockey is Channing Hill. The trainer is Ken McPeak. Term of Art, a Doug O'Neill horse, also owned by Calumet. Man, they're getting some runners up there. So they got to win something.
I know. Winless for years, we haven't heard about Calumet. Now they're back, huh?
They're back. Yeah. They got their program all in order, and they've got everything firing away. Another one is... I don't think this horse is actually in it, but it's Lancaster Bomber. I think you found this name, but I don't see that. I see Term of Art, Senior Investment, Multiplier, Cloud Computing, Conquest Mo Money, Gunavera, Hence, Looking at Lee, Classic Empire, and Always Dreaming. Do you guys want to make a pick?
Well, my or is picks it too early? On Friday. Friday okay. We'll make picks. I'm not ready yet. I have to ponder it.
You don't have to ponder. Just say, I like the name Cloud Computing.
I might.
He's gonna win.
My emotional favorite is still Gunavera, so I might have to have that one in there too.
There you go. That's your 1-2.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and I just looked at the weather forecast for Baltimore on the weekend, and it looks like it's Friday for the races on Friday. It's going to be 90 degrees with a 60% chance of severe thunderstorms.
Oh, no.
And then on Saturday, it's going to clear out. The storms are going to roll through, and it's going to be 73 degrees with 0% chance of rain. So it's going to
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
If that holds, that's like perfect. Perfect weather. So let's hope. Although if they get a lot of rain on Friday, it might be a sloppy track. We'll see. See what happens there.
Well, I'm just happy that there's going to be such harmony and peace and quiet in the infield and people really celebrating the horses.
Yes.
During the race, yes, as opposed to years past where things may have not have been, I guess, you know, early horse-centric.
Are you begging me to play it?
No. No, I'm not. Not at all.
Okay, I was just checking. Do you remember who won last year? Do you have any idea who won last year?
Oh, you have the race. Let's hear it. It
means Jamie hasn't. She doesn't remember who won it last
year.
Well,
it was Nyquist. I can't remember last year, but then last two I can.
By the way, it was
Mary Fair, California Chrome.
Extremely muddy last year. It looked like Kentucky Derby this year. So here we go.
They're off in the Preakness. Lonnie was away slowly again. Nyquist had a good beginning, and Uncolino goes with him, and so does Awesome Speed. So they surround Nyquist early on. Collected is going up and is close up to the pace, running in fourth early on. Then Lauban, followed by Abiding Star, who's sitting behind the front runners today. And then it's Stradivari. Exaggerator is a good 13 lengths off of Nyquist, who's head and head up front, with Uncolino going into that turn. Then Fellowship, and at the back of the field are Cherry Wine and Lauban. The pace is very, very fast, a 22 and one opening quarter mile. So Nyquist is forced to work early here. He's got Lauban on his inside, and Awesome Speed is running in third just behind the leaders. Then Collected, followed by Stradivari toward the inside, who's about four lengths off the lead. Lauban is next. Now Exaggerator is down on the inside. Kent DeSormo has him about six lengths off the lead, and Nyquist is up front. His nemesis is five lengths ahead of him as Exaggerator makes steady progress on the rail. Up front, it is Uncolino, who continues to cling to Nyquist. Nyquist with a head in front, and on their outside, Awesome Speed. And there's Exaggerator. He's so much closer today after a 46 and two half mile, and they move for the far turn. Uncolino has been pressuring Nyquist the whole way. Awesome Speed is third, Collected fourth, Stradivari, and Exaggerator is right on the rail, and he's two lengths off the lead, and Uncolino continues to battle Nyquist on the far turn. Exaggerator and Stradivari are both in contention, and now Mario Gutierrez is asking Nyquist for his run, and they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist in front. His adversary Exaggerator got a jump on him, and he's gone by to take the lead as they come to the eighth pole. It is Exaggerator in front. Now Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second, and then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes. It was very close for a second. Nyquist and Cherry Wine were right together.
I forgot about that.
Pegasus, Lord of the Infield Fest.
Third Saturday in May. That's when the Preakness comes to Pimlico.
Jamie's on mute now, so we can all just enjoy it together.
In the middle of it all sets the Infield Fest. As legend goes, the leader of these...
Okay, I have you off mute. I'll just lay it play in the background there.
Okay, well, here, I was going to give you like a breakdown of the Exaggerator, who ended up being a big-time mutter because he ended up going out to, like, I think it was a Haskell and winning everything, and he's now retired at Windstar, so he is living the life. But yeah, so that's what's gonna happen. He was a mutter. His mutter was a mutter. So we've got we've got those guys.
Now you remember who won.
I do, because it was at Kent DeSormo, and then his brother Keith DeSormo, and then Kent is like, you know, always had the issues, and then he was riding for his brother because nobody else would hire him, and then the Exaggerator, and he was up there for the Derby, but he didn't win. And blah 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 blah. It's always the you know, I think. After the Preakness, no, it was after the Derby that Kent, the jockey, went to rehab.
Yes, I think it was. It was last year, but yeah.
It was after the Preakness because he partied so much.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, it is known for partying at the Preakness.
The Preakness sent him to rehab.
It was all Kegis's fault.
It was all Kegis's fault. I bet they met in the back alley somewhere, and they were like handing off like different. Here, try this one. Try this one.
Have you had that?
Hey, I just got a follow-up before we go into our horse health for the day. And then we're going to be talking more Triple Crown with our with a segment that we're moving from Stable Scoop called Horses in History with Gail Stewart. And it's an absolutely wonderful segment. We love her to death, but because we changed the way we're doing things over on Stable Scoop and what we're doing this year, she's moving up to Horses in the Morning. And we've had her on before. You really liked Gail. So
I love her.
Yeah. So she's going to talk about Citation this time. So now I just got a follow up from Courtney, our guest earlier, our personal ad. She says, thanks for having me on, Glenn. That was entertaining. Can't wait for the cruise. And do let Jamie know flea and tick and heartworm meds for the dogs is only, are you ready? $250 every 3 months. It's not nearly as bad as everyone thinks. Everyone can afford six dogs.
Oh, my God. Diva, as horse girls, we also probably feed our dogs really good food. Like my dog food, and I have three dogs, is so crazy expensive. Of course, because I have to get Zenyatta has to have grain free, you know, of course. And that just means everybody gets grain free because I'm not separating dog foods. So, yeah. And we don't have fleas here in Arizona. So I don't have
to. Because it's too damn hot. They die of heat exhaustion.
Too hot. They don't live here. Yeah. But I mean, in Georgia, I had one dog and fancy dog food. And I was like, oh my God, I can't afford any more dogs.
$250 mm-hmm. every 3 months. And she thinks that's cheap.
Only every 3 months, Glenn.
Courtney, you're not making your case. It's getting worse. Please stop writing to us at this point.
no, keep it coming.
All right, let's do our horse health segment. And coming up,
that's only $84 a month, Glenn.
For flea protection.
Money well spent.
It's cheaper to worm horses.
She's got the dogs in her bed.
Cheap at any price. Because the alternative is fleas.
Well, in your bed. Because the dogs are in a dang bed.
How do you fit six dogs in a bed? I don't know.
Don't hurt yourself thinking about it.
I don't want to know. We don't have our dog in the bed. I can't do it. So for me, that's just like a
nightmare. I used to have my dog in the bed. However, just know that when the husband comes around, the dogs have to leave. Or at least mine did. Brett still slept on the bed, but like most, every other dog has to sleep on, well, they have their own dog beds now. They don't sleep on the floor. Would be ridiculous.
That'd be rude.
They have their own dog bed. And Lucky has one that is one of those memory foam to help his little body. God, I'm crazy too. I'm still crazy. I just have less crazy.
All right, let's do our horse health segment. We have Dr. DeLu joining us. She talks about keeping your jumping horses' backs happy so that they don't end up needing the chiropractor. That's coming right up.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, hi, Dr. DeLu, and welcome back.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Good to see you again, talk to you again.
Yeah, we can't quite see each other yet. We're not that advanced.
A little far.
It's a good thing.
Maybe we'll Skype in one of these days.
It's a good thing, because, you know, I'm sitting here in my pajamas most of the time. No, not really. That's what people say. I get that joke all the time. You're doing radio. You don't have to get dressed. At some point, you do have to get dressed. So now tell me, we're continuing this series on chiropractic and the different disciplines. And which one are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about jumping, all forms of jumping, hunters, stadium jumping, cross-country jumping, and what we as trainers, owners, riders, vets can hopefully do to keep our horses comfortable and keep you guys from needing to see me for chiropractic work.
This might be an unfair question for you. I should have asked it in the first one of these series. Is there a discipline that you see needing more chiropractic work than another discipline, or does it depend on the owner and the horse?
It really depends on the owner and the horse. I mean, it's mostly about are the horses suitable for what they're doing? You know, are they built for it? And are the owners pushing them too hard?
Gotcha.
I mean, that's a lot of it. And you can run into huge problems with any discipline. I'd say that the gated horses, the saddle seat horses, probably they win with needing the most work. But dressage, jumping, even just trail horses, they all really can usually use some. But the goal is to need me less. So that's right. Why these tips hopefully will help.
Okay, so jumping.
Jumping obviously takes a lot of effort on the horse's part, and often there'll be some tight turns and the horse is pushing off and pushing off from different leads and landing on different leads. And more horses are left-handed than right-handed, just like more people are right-handed than left-handed. So jumping is one of those disciplines where the asymmetry can really get exaggerated, because if more horses are left-handed, they'd rather push off from the left lead and they'd rather land on that lead. So you do tend to see a lot of asymmetry with that pelvis. So my advice to owners is to really have a good foundation of flat work, whether it's dressage work or, you know, just any sort of riding where you really make sure your horse is even and comfortable on both leads and equally as strong and able to bend both directions, so you can try and prevent those asymmetries. And the horses, jumping horses, use their hocks a lot and they land hard on their front feet. So keeping the rest of the body really comfortable is going to be very important for them using their body correctly in the air. And if they're doing that, they're going to be a lot less prone to chiropractic problems.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, people often think that, oh, jumping, it's so hard on the horse's back. And I actually tend to see less back problems with it, because the riders generally have so much weight in the stirrups, because when the horse jumps, the leg has to stay very secure and right on the side of the horse with no movement. And because they have so much weight in the stirrups, they're really distributing it well over the saddle. And of course, a really inexperienced rider may hit the horse's back or hit them in the mouth. But, someone that's been doing it for a while, the back tends to do okay. It's the low back, because they're pushing off so much, and then really that pelvis, which is what you see go out when the horse is not symmetrical and not jumping evenly.
Is there a difference with the show jumpers and the event horses out doing cross country and stuff? Or is it pretty much the same?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Like the hunters, I would say, tend to have the least issues, because they're not doing the tight turns, and the whole goal is for everything to be as smooth and even right and fluid as possible. Whereas the stadium jumpers, you know, as you get to higher levels and you're jumping and landing and doing a really tight turn, I mean, those horses are really exerting themselves, and it's rare that there wouldn't be some work to do. And in cross country, you do tend to see unfortunately, some legs hanging and hitting the jumps that don't fall, or a horse even falling, which is of course rare, but definitely happens. And also they're going often at a very fast pace and not necessarily getting to quite as good of a spot where they leave the ground to do the jump, so they're jolting their body a bit more than they would be necessarily in the arena, and the uneven ground and the jumping up and down. So the cross-country horses probably do end up needing the most work out of those three.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense.
So, yeah, and I think one more thing.
Yep, go ahead. No, I was
going to. Is that the thoroughbreds, you know, just because they don't have quite as much muscle mass, they tend to throw themselves out a little bit more easily than the warm bloods with the bulkier muscling. So you have a lot more thoroughbred blood in the cross-country horses as well.
Right. That's true. Well, there you go. And where can people find out more about you?
They can go to my website at equineholisticvetmed.com or look me up on Horse Tip Daily.
Well, thank you to Dr. DeLue for providing today's. We did this series a long time ago, actually, but it doesn't matter. It's all still relevant, and it gives me a good opportunity to remind everybody of Horse Tip Daily, Jennifer's show over there at horsetipdaily.com. You'll find all kinds of information and tips on all different subjects, from health to photography to whatever it is involving horses. She has almost 1,600 tips over there now, and they're all pretty short, so head on over. And I am always flattered when I ask listeners. I've asked a couple listeners recently who have said Horse Tip Daily is their favorite show. They love listening to Jennifer on the show. So I think you'll like that too. Now,
that's how I started listening.
Why we're not their daily. Favorite show, I don't know, but you know,
I wasn't gonna comment on that. I was just gonna let Jennifer have a moment, but okay. Then like I'm gonna email all those people and be like, why is my show? Just kidding.
Everybody's what allowed to have a favorite as long as they listen.
Yeah. Why do you hate me?
I don't care which show's their favorite on the network, to be honest, as long as they're listening to something. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I really don't care. All right, that's let's see here. What are we doing next? Oh, we're going to Gail. Gail has been joining
back in time.
Yeah, back in time for Horses in History. Gail Stewart is the author of 100 Horses in History. If you listen to Stable Scoop, you've heard her many, many times on there talking about different horses. This book is terrific. I have it right here in my hands. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? And is that Jamie with you?
It is.
Hi, Gail. I'm so happy you're on our show now.
Good morning. Well, thank you. I am too.
It's like you've graduated from elementary school to high school now.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. I heard a phrase the other day. It's time to take off the training wheels. So here we are.
That's it. We were just testing you over on that other show.
Sorry, Helena. I'll kick her off. It's not my fault.
I love Helena. She's so sweet.
Yeah, Jamie is not as sweet as Helena. I'm going to warn you. She's tougher. Yeah, so.
Gail is sweet like sugar. You can't be mean to somebody like that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, please.
Well, I'm super excited that we're going to have this segment because there is nothing I like. The only books I read are books about horses and history. Chad actually laughs at me because it's constant. So we're going to talk a little bit today about citation. Yes. And I would tell you about it. I want you to tell us all about him.
Citation? Well, he was the eighth winner of the Triple Crown, and that happened in 1948. And that year, his three-year-old year, he won 19 of 20 races, and he was Horse of the Year that year. And the funny story about Citation was that in October that year, 1948, when his three-year-old year, he was in a race called the Pimlico Special, 1948, and it was at Pimlico where he had won the Preakness in early May, and it was a winner take all race. The owner of Pimlico, Alfred Vanderbilt, decided to have this race. It was winner take all, $10,000, and nobody else would win any money except the winner. And so nobody would put up their horse against Citation. It was called the walkover race. And he was by himself. And they planned it just like a regular grade one stakes race. They had a post parade. The Maryland Jockey Club band played. They had a winner's circle ceremony with the monogram blanket and chrysanthemums and the champagne, a case of champagne was sent to the winning stable. But they went ahead and did it because they were trying to increase Citation's purse winnings for the year. And he was well on his way to becoming the first $1 million horse. So what happened was they ran him. It was on the Friday, on Black Eyed Susan Day, 1948, in October, and he didn't dawdle. He actually beat his time in that race totally by himself. He didn't have any traffic, so he beat his time. He beat his time in the Preakness. He was 2 minutes, 2 seconds, and 2/5, and in the Pimlico Special, his time was 1:59 4/5. So anyway, what happened then was the owner, Warren Wright of Calumet Farm, donated the money to charity. But I think that was just kind of a funny story. And there's a
that's hilarious
running around the race on the racetrack totally by himself. But anyway, he was on his way to becoming the first $1 million horse. And Warren Wright was really campaigning him hard, and see, Secretariat and Man of War both ran 21 times, but they were retired after their after their three-year-old year. Well, they kept racing Citation, and at the end of 1948, he injured his foot, and arthritis set in one of his fetlocks. And so he didn't race at all his four-year-old year. And so then they ran him again his five-year-old year. And at the end of that year, Warren Wright became ill, and he died in December of 1951. But he wanted to go, 1950, but he wanted Citation to be the first million-dollar horse. So he made the trainers, Jimmy and Ben Jones, promise to keep campaigning him. And it finally happened in California at the Hollywood Gold Cup when he won $100,000. And that pushed his winnings to $1,085,760. It was July 1951 when he was six. And so
What's the equivalent nowadays to that $1 million in 1950? Yeah, find out, because that
please,
is a crazy.
I'm doing it now. Okay.
Please do.
I was wondering, Gail, because it said that, and I found this strange. Now it kind of answers that. So he ran the Kentucky Derby, won the Kentucky Derby. Then he ran, as I understand it, he ran the Preakness and won that. And then they took him to the Jersey Stakes before going to Belmont. So he actually did a race between the Preakness and Belmont. Things were different back then.
They were.
Well, I know. And in the Belmont, he had there was a field of eight, and he ran. He beat them, and when he came out of the starting gate, he stumbled, and Eddie Arcaro, the jockey, just almost flew off, but he managed to stay in the saddle, and he won by eight lengths, and he won that race in 2:28 1/5. For a Secretariat's time was 2:24. Think of that. That's just 4 seconds difference. I mean, that's an eyelash.
Running by yourself, though. that's hilarious.
yeah, I know. But he was a big bay horse with very expressive eyes, and his nickname was the Big Side. That's what his fans called him.
That was also the third horse that Calumet had that won the Kentucky or won the Triple Crown. That was the third Triple Crown winner that they had. And I just
from
did
Calumet.
The
mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Calumet, sorry. And I just did the inflation calculator. $1 million in 1948 is the equivalent to $10.1 million now.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you had that at hand.
I didn't.
You did that really fast.
I looked it up.
He's a good Googler.
I can Google with the best of them.
But one thing I wanted to tell you all, and I just think this is the funniest thing, he died in August of 1970, and the owner, the CEO of Cessna Aircraft Company in Wichita, Kansas, loved this horse. He followed his career and loved him. So Cessna was beginning to design and build a new line of executive business jets, and so they decided to name this line of jets after Citation. And so today you see all these Citations, 1, 2, and 3, this beautiful line of sleek jets named after Citation. And the reason was because they said that Citation was a get-down-to-business kind of horse, and both the jets and the horse were easily manageable. And so today in Wichita you can see pictures of Citation the horse alongside Citation the Jets, and I think that's funny.
Oh, that's so cool.
The Blood Horse
ranked
Citation number 3 on their top 100 U.S. Thoroughbred Champions of the 20th Century.
Mandamore Secretary.
I looked around at length this morning, spent about an hour doing this. I could not find any audio from the races, from the Preakness. I just couldn't find any of the audio. They had the video, but there wasn't audio with it. And the Belmont, I couldn't find any audio there, but I did find the audio of the end of the race for the Kentucky Derby. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Here we go.
Hold it on the radio.
And the turning for home. Coaltown and Citation head and head. And it looks like Eddie Arkell has got his dirty. They're coming in there just like they were the enemy, riding each other close. And it is Citation coming to the front. He's everything that said he was. He's going to win with his ears pricking. It is Citation by two, pulling away. And the other horse, Coaltown, is hanging on gamely. But that's all he can do is hang on gamely to the second. Citation wins.
So there you go. That's it. That's all I could find, and that was out of a piece that somebody else had put together. I couldn't find the whole race, and I looked all over the place and couldn't find it. But
what's the name of the race that he ran himself?
The Pimlico Special.
All right,
and it was a big festive event. 11,000 people in the stands cheering on one horse.
All right, here we go. So we're going to take you back in time. All right, it's the Pimlico Special, and here we're going to watch Citation. 11,000 people are here at the side of the track to see the horse race of the century. People, ding, 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 ding. The horse race of the century, and they're at the gate. And, well, he's at the gate, and the gate's open. And Citation comes out in the lead, and he's galloping on down, and nobody's challenging him by himself. He's running around the turn. He's coming around the turn, and then he's making his way around the turn, and then he's coming around the next turn, and now he's galloping towards the finish line. Down the stretch he comes, and then the winner, Citation!
Down the stretch he comes. Well, the Washington Post writer said that he's in a class by himself today in the Pimlico Special. The crowd of 11,000 howled with laughter when the track announcer said, "And the race is official." And he just goes galloping around. And he did not only beat his time in the Preakness, but he won $10,000, and that money went to cancer research.
There. You know, I want to bring back, Gail, the old days of racing where they did crap like match races and things. I think that would bring racing back to where it was. They need to add some of that fun stuff to it. It's too business now. They really do need to do that.
Wow. Hey, watch your mouth, because you can go to Turf Paradise and watch them race ostriches and zebras and camels. So there is that.
Oh, no.
And some of those claimer races, there's two horses. So it's like
Turf Paradise.
Did you all see?
Gail is here in Phoenix.
The Kentucky Derby, when that poor horse from Dubai.
Yes.
Broke from the gate. Yes. And started bucking.
Yeah, he didn't like the mud.
I just had to feel so sorry for that junk. I've never seen that in any race, any time. That was pretty
bad. I felt sorry for anybody involved with that horse, because the Sheik was not going to be happy. And have we ever heard from the trainer again? Has he disappeared? Because
we have heard from them.
Oh, yeah?
We have.
What happened?
Really?
Yeah.
Update. Yes, the trainers posted a lovely video of the horse. He's back in Newmarket now, and he was going for a nice walk, getting ramped up for his next start, and he's happy. And his groom calls him Little Monkey.
And the trainer is currently sending live Instagram feed from his prison cell.
Yes, that's right.
In Dubai.
In Dubai.
Yeah, but, you know. That's right. The horse is home and happy. Who knows? We haven't heard about the trainer. We know the groom.
And the jockey. Have we seen the jockey again? Is the jockey missing too?
Oh, it looked like a rodeo in Oklahoma. I'm like, oh my gosh, have you ever seen that in a big race, especially one of the Triple Crown races? Well, I thought that horse is on the first flight back to Dubai.
Yeah. Well, this is fun. And the book, you guys, and Jamie, I'll order you. Do you have a copy of this yet? Jamie,
I'll order one from you.
I'll send you one.
Yeah, we'll get you one so that you have
Glenn, next one. You were supposed to give me the one for Christmas. We had talked about it.
Yeah, but it's right here in my hand.
Well, I'll send you one, Jamie. I'll send you one.
Oh, that's awful sweet. Where can people go buy it?
Okay, well, at Amazon, it's Gail, G-A-Y-L-E, 100, 100, horsesinhistory.com. Or they can write me, and I can sign one for them and send it off. And And I thank you so much for having me on Horses in History.
I want to tell you, too, that this is not just, I want to let everybody know, this is not just racehorses. This is, they have movie horses, music horses, they have trailblazers, war horses, racehorses are in there, horses and heroines, stars of the show horses, celebrity horses. So they have a little bit of everything in here. You'll find it all in the book. So it's just a lot of fun. Check it out. There's pictures that you have never seen before, and they're all pretty short. I mean, you could call this bathroom reading because it's just a page or two on each horse.
Oh my gosh, this book is awesome.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
This really, you're going to love it. Actually. Yeah.
I wanted it to be so people, or especially kids, could sit down and read it in a, about one horse in one setting.
How do authors feel when somebody says this could be bathroom reading? How do they feel about that?
I'm not. Glenn, I've never heard that. But it's pretty good. I don't know.
You don't care where they read it, do you? Just buy it. I don't care.
I don't. Just buy it. Well,
that is pretty. That is pretty wrong to say to an author, like, dude, I totally read your book in the bathroom.
Gail, you're working on another one now, too, right? Another 100?
Well, yes, we're getting ready to update it, and I'm going to put in American Pharoah and take out a few and add a few. So, yes, we're working on that now. So.
Okay, good.
I knew you know, were. Someone asked me, Gail, did you really get 100 horses in it? I mean, I have a box of rejects, well over 100 horses. There are so many horses in history that deserve to be remembered, and they're wonderful, and I love writing about them. And
so the next book, is it called 100 More Horses in History? Another 100 Horses in History?
Now that's a good idea.
Yeah.
100 More Horses. I'll remember that.
Jamie gets a 10-cent cut of every book now because she named
it. Right.
Yeah, she titled it. Thank you, Gail. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I had fun.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. The sequel to that's got to be awesome. 100 more horses in history. Here's 100 more.
Do you see why?
And then there's going to be there's another 100 more.
That's right. Do you see why we couldn't let Gail go? She's such a sweetheart. She really is.
Oh my gosh. I love her. When we had her on last time, she was just so lovely to talk to. And she's so, and what a cool thing she's providing to the world, telling about these horses in history. I mean, it's just awesome. I'm so glad that she's putting it up pen to paper and getting it done.
She did one at Halloween. She has a chat or on a page in here on the Legend of Sleepy Hollow and the horses. And she told that story. It was hilarious the way she told it. It was so funny. And she had little tidbits that you'd never heard before. So
does she know Milla Thompson from Scotland? And she's like talking about the Frisian Andalusian horses.
I don't know. Maybe
King
that's
road.
They're probably we can get those two together for sure. Well, what a fun show we had today. But we have to go because Jamie has to mentally prepare.
Right after
we hang up here, we have to go do an interview with the star of Heartland. So,
oh my gosh. Her name is Amber Marshall.
Amber Marshall. And did we ever determine, anything about Amber at this point? You have been reading up and you're good to go.
Listen, don't you worry your pretty little head about it. You don't even get to talk.
I know. I don't. By the way, she's 28 years old. I did look that up.
She is. Okay.
She was, this has been on for 10 years. So she started when she was a teenager in this show for sure. Yeah. 28 years old is what she is, and we're going to have her on Friday. You're going to want to tune in first thing Friday morning, and we look forward to having you back then. We'll also be doing some really bad ads, so send those in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. All you guys out there that are interested in Courtney and her 12 dogs, you can send your letters, your nice, lovely letters to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and she will be the matchmaker and determine whether you get through the gauntlet to get to Courtney. So
the flood of emails has opened up.
Yes.
Jennifer's inbox is full.
Sure, they're coming in rapidly now.
hold on. Wait. Ding. Oh, God. You got mail. Like another one. It's like crazy.
It's just one after another. After another. Jeez, Jennifer. Well, now we know why she got so quiet. She's just answering those emails.
She just can't keep up. It's just the flood of dudes who want to date a girl
they can't come in fast enough. Lock up my computer.
She should have left out the 6 dogs. You don't do that until they're hooked. You just don't mention it.
Glenn, she was trying the honest approach.
You got okay. 6 dogs, you can't be honest. You have to lie a little in the beginning.
She's got 13 pets total. She hasn't got time to fool around with these guys who can't deal with 6 dogs.
That was Jennifer's theory. That's why it took her till the age of 25 to find me, who apparently didn't mind all those animals at her farm when I went out.
Took me to 30 to meet Chad.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but see, with Jennifer and I, we had gone out several times before I ever met the animals. So see, Jennifer just weaned me into that slowly. It was over a slow period of dates before I ever met the animals.
You know what I like is she's like, I'm all out. This I'm right here. This is all me. This is me. Take it or leave it. And again, the emails are freaking coming in like gangbusters.
Well, if you are single and you would like to be on our personal ad segment after that.
Boy, those emails are going to be even more.
You can email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and she'll get you booked into our next personal ad segment and you can get to join us on the show.
You can't sound crazier than me or my friend.
I hear crickets. I'm hearing crickets in the distance. There's nothing coming in. Oh, well.
Well, that's because Jennifer's inbox is so full of dudes that want to date her.
We got to go. We'll see, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Is NATRC trail riding day tomorrow. And then Friday, Jamie will be back. Now, one request I do have for Friday. It is the day before our vacation. It's the day before our cruise. I am going to be very distracted. So if you could please just read all your email, your really bad ads and into your phone, send us the sound files so I have to do no work. So I'd appreciate that.
Get over yourself. Come on, let's go. It's Bay Neuter Geld, everybody. Have a good one. Remember when you did that? It was awesome. It's going to be beautiful.